Today's reading comes from John 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointing Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was the perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used it to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Bless the reading of the word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture passage for this morning is a story about the difference that generous love makes in a person's life. This week, I was reflecting on where I've experienced this type of generous love, and my thoughts drifted back to my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Jazzcar. When I was 3, I tripped and I fell down a flight of stairs. As a result of this accident, I suffered bilateral hearing loss in both of my ears. This basically means that I can hear, but not well. When I was in college, I started wearing hearing aids that correct the problem for the most part. But as a child, I was a little bit stubborn and flat out refused to wear them because I was scared I was going to get made fun of. So my guidance counselor took this information and decided that in elementary school, I should be placed in special ed classes. Despite my hearing loss, I am actually academically gifted. In fact, I believe the word that would be appropriate is I'm a bit of a nerd. I've always enjoyed reading and writing and learning new things. So what happens when you put a gifted child in special ed? They get bored. And when they're bored, they start to misbehave. By the time I entered fifth grade, I was basically failing all of my classes because I refused to do my homework. The homework was so easy, it felt like a waste of my time. Fifth grade was also the year that I discovered the Harry Potter book series. My favorite book in the series was the third one, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Well, as luck would have it, I chose the day of parent-teacher conferences to bring the book in and sit in the back of the classroom and read the book and not pay attention at all to what was happening in class. Now, my fifth grade teacher could have taken my behavior at face value. This is a lazy student who's never going to amount to much. Instead, that night at parent-teacher conferences, he told my mom, "I don't think Rebecca needs to be in special ed. She's reading at a high school level. I'm going to talk to her guidance counselor, and we're going to switch her into gifted classes in middle school." If I had to pick one thing that forever altered the course of my life, it was switching out of special ed classes and into gifted classes. Since I was no longer bored, I started doing my homework again. I made friends with other nerds. I quit goofing off in class, and I started to actually look forward to going to school. I carried this love of learning through high school, college and seminary. Because of Mr. Jaskar, I truly believe that every child is one caring adult away from either success or failure. In fact, when you hear the stories of successful adults, most of them talk about an adult who loved them, who took a special interest in their success, or who challenged them to be the best version of themselves. An adult who loved generously, expecting nothing in return. I call this being loved into our futures. I think our scripture passage for this morning is a good example of the difference such a generous love can make in a person's life. Our passage begins 6 days before the Passover, on the eve of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but also his betrayal and arrest. This is a critical time in Jesus' life and ministry. The cross is coming, and how Jesus prepares himself for it matters. During a dinner party held in Jesus' honor, Mary pours out an expensive jar of perfume, and she washes Jesus' feet with her hair. This was an incredible act of generosity. Judas is not wrong when he points out that this perfume costs the equivalent of a year's worth of wages for a day laborer. Jesus thanks Mary for her generosity, but his disciple, Judas, is outraged. He asks Jesus, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." The ironic thing about Judas is he doesn't actually care about helping the poor. He also doesn't really care that much about money. In a few chapters, he's going to betray Jesus for a very small amount of money. Having never experienced this kind of generous love himself, when he sees it, he can't help but get angry. But Jesus is having none of it. "Leave her alone," Jesus says. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." Mary's act of generosity was meant to prepare Jesus for his burial. Mary's extravagant love of Jesus prepares Jesus to show extravagant love to us on the cross. Ironically, as Mary anoints Jesus with this costly perfume, it is Judas who is exposed as a hypocrite. I tend to read this story around this time in Lent almost every year. I believe it's a story that shows up in a few gospel accounts. This year, when I was reading the story, I couldn't help but feel a little bit sorry for Judas. I don't mean I'm accepting his behavior, but I wondered if Judas had ever experienced a Mary kind of love. I wondered if he himself has ever known the difference such a love can make. I want to warn us against this kind of common temptation to label every Christian we meet as either a Mary or as a Judas. It's been my experience that most disciples are this beautifully frustrating combination of both Mary and Judas. Also, the grace of Jesus extends to both the Marys and the Judases of the world. The faithful and the unfaithful and everyone in between. I hope our scripture passage for this morning encourages you to reflect on where you have seen extravagant love in your life. I hope that all of us can think of at least one example where somebody went above and beyond to love us. Maybe you're thinking of a teacher who believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself. Maybe you're thinking about a coach who demanded your best effort each and every time you set foot on the court. Maybe you're thinking about a spouse who loved you through a rough season at work or with the kids. In the lives of each congregation that I serve, I can't help but think of our endowments as an example of the generous love that Mary gives Jesus. This is money that has been set aside from the saints who have gone before us, where they themselves are not directly benefiting from this money they set aside. To me, this is the ultimate act of generosity, to give something away with no hope or expectation that it will be returned to us. This week, my challenge for us is to think about who we can love extravagantly. Who can we love in a way where we're giving away ourselves in service to God? I think the most important things that we have to give away are our time and our energy. And when you're thinking about where and how you want to give these things away, think about how you can give them away without really receiving them back in return. As I was preparing this sermon this week, I stumbled across this Greek proverb that I think summarizes the passage pretty well. It says, "A society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit in." Friends, as we enter into spring and as we prepare ourselves for Easter, I wonder what trees God is inviting us to plant. I also believe that however we choose to give away our time or our energy in service to God, God receives it as a beautiful sacrifice. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.